Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And a pure heart, Lord. We want to be just like you. We want to live holy and righteous, oh Lord, because we want to be found worthy to escape the wrath to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pastor Carlos A. from the live here on Blog Talk Radio this evening on our Thursday at 7 o'clock for our Bible study. What's next? We are not time setters. We have an imminent expectation of the return of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, all hell is going to break on the earth. Glory be to the Lord. And we're going to be up with the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, in Thessalonians, it says that the dead in Christ will rise first. We that remain shall be caught up together. Harpazo. Hallelujah. Which is a Greek word for the rapture. The Lord. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is our second part with Sister Elisa Ortiz from the Grace Church here in Glory be to the Lord. Let me just read a couple of short scriptures to you, then we'll get into it. And it's found in 2 Corinthians 9, says, concerning it, as some men counts lack offering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall burn, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What man persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, and what man of a person? And the intro to what Sister Alicia Ortiz is going to be teaching us in the second part, in the part two. Glory to Lord. Sister Alicia, you there? Sister Alicia? Oh, let me put you on the mic. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're there.
Okay.
You're there, right?
Yeah.
I forgot to put your mic. The line is for you. I just told you with a question. You could write questions in the email, wtltabernacle@gmail.com, or you could go to the chat room, and you could call later on after 7 o'clock, after 8 o'clock, 772-626-3178, and you'll speak with me, and we'll go over any questions, comments, and testimonies that you have. So at this time, we're going to present our sister, Alicia Ortiz, with part two of the tribulation.
Thank you, Carlos. I'm here from Fort Pierce. Like he said, I'm with Grace Church of Treasure Coast. We are located off Jenkins Road here in Fort Pierce. Thank you all for being here. I would like to start with a short summary from last week's teaching. And I want to tell you that Jesus' Olivet Discourse is the teaching regarding the end times. See it in detail in Matthew 24, 1 through 25, 6. Mark 13 from verse 1 to 37. And Luke 21, verses 5 through 36. In this discourse, Jesus described what Israel and the rest of the world will experience during the seven-year period known as the tribulation. He describes a period of violence, hate, murder, sickness, as has only happened once before. That is the days of Noah, which is revealed in the book of Genesis. It is revealed that this period begins with a world ruler or Antichrist signing a treaty with Israel. On the first 3.5 years, which we covered last week, Israel will rebuild its temple, begin sacrifices there. The world will experience the execution of God's judgment with the, with the Lord breaking the seal and with the sounding of the seven trumpets. Each judgment affects the world with earthquakes, famines, droughts, etc., each more severely than the ones before and more frequently. This period of chastisement, which is it's called like that, on Israel and its purification, and the unbelieving world, the rebellion against God, is covered all throughout Revelation 6 and 19 and Daniel 7 through 11. Matthew, Luke, Mark, 2 Thessalonians, and other books of the Bible, and even the Old and New Testament. It is a period of intense evil actions by unbeliever and starts as a birth of a child or birth pangs. We are currently under various wars around the world, sicknesses or pestilences, as the Bible calls it, more intense and frequent earthquakes, droughts, and flood. There will be a worldwide death. The second 3.5 years, Jesus called it the Great Tribulation. Before entering this section, John the Revelator discusses additional topics, such as the stealing of the 144,000 Jewish men and the two witnesses that come down from God to evangelize in Israel. Last week's discussion stopped after a brief introduction to the Antichrist and his biggest supporter, the false prophet. These two you can find in Revelation chapter 12, or rather, no, chapter 13, 14, okay? John opens chapter 14 of Revelation with a vision of the 144,000 on Mount Zion. There was a song for them only. They had been redeemed from among men. This indicates that the 144,000 have arrived in heaven already, as the Lamb is standing on Mount Zion and the 144,000 are with him at this time. They had received a seal of protection on their forehead in Revelation 7. The beast doesn't deceive them. Zion, which is the ancient name for the hills that make up Jerusalem, is the place where the Messiah gathers, is redeemed, and reigns over the earth. You can read in more detail Psalm 48, Isaiah 24, verse 23, Joel 2, verse 32, Obadiah 17 and 21, and Micah 4, 1 and 7. It is believed that the 144,000 survived, as Daniel's friends did in Daniel 3, 1925, when they didn't worship the king Nebuchadnezzar. Besides the 144,000 Jewish men and the two witnesses from heaven, an angel will preach the gospel. This is in Revelation 14, 6 through 7, to those who dwell on earth. This angel will preach to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come." Those saved through the great tribulation can't be numbered. It tells us in Revelation 7, 9 through 14. This is the last cause of grace to an apostate world. This is the only place in the New Testament where we see an angel preaching the gospel. We haven't seen this before. Another angel announces Babylon's fall. We will see more of this later when I start talking about chapter 17 of Revelation. It represents mankind in an organized revision against God. Yet, a third angel warns with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark, the wrath of God will fall full strength on them. They will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb, day and night forever." In contrast, the saints, those who kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, will rest from their labors and their works follow them to heaven. This is where we get our rewards when we get there. A fourth angel said to him who sat on the cloud, "One like the Son of Man." So we're thinking this is Christ. "Thrust your sickle and reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." The earth was reaped. The one with a sharp sickle was also asked to gather the clusters of vine of the earth, for her grapes were fully ripe. It's kind of reinstating the same thing as before. It was thrown in the winepress of the wrath of God. Blood came out of it up to horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs. It's about approximately 200 miles. It's pretty deep. That's the carnage of the Battle of Armageddon described in Revelation 16, 16 and chapter 19, 11 through 19. Daniel describes the world government as having huge iron teeth. He devours, breaks in pieces, and tramples the residue. That is what is left with his feet. So this is a fierce government that is going to be instituted. And out of it comes the Antichrist, who speaks pompous words. John sees from the throne this beast is slain, and its body is destroyed and given to the burning flames. That's the lake of fire. So the Antichrist is going to suffer the consequences of all his actions together with his clan, is what I would say call it. So this is the end of the Antichrist. We will see him no more when this happens. The other beasts, or his kings, it's called, it's a dominion. Their dominion is taken away, their lives are prolonged for a season and a time. And a little bit later, we're going to tell you what happens to them. Their fate is sealed. So their city is a confusion, broken down, and they're brought low, is what we hear. Isaiah 24:25 recounts the state of the earth after the judgment. So it's worthwhile to go there and read about it. John sees seven angels that have the last plagues in which the wrath of God is complete. He also sees those that have the victory over the beast standing on the sea of glass singing a song of praise. It's called the Song of Moses and of the Lamb. The seven bowls are received by the seven angels with the instruction to pour out the bowls of wrath on the earth. So the bowls are, number one, the first bowl is the foul and loathsome source upon those who took the mark of the beast and those who worship it. So now that these people who rebel, constantly rebel and they didn't want to come to Christ, they are going to be with sores all over the body, and there's more for them waiting too. The sea turns to blood, killing every living creature in the sea. The fresh water, the rivers and springs of water became blood. So you can tell this is a very turbulent time, and you can tell something is very wrong. The angel of the waters let us know that those who shed the blood of saints and prophets now are given blood to drink. So there's no longer water. They're going to have to drink the blood. If that's, they wanted it, they got it now. The sun scorches men with fire, scorched with great heat, yet these people continue to blaspheme God and don't repent and give him glory. These are very stubborn souls that basically they have no redeeming qualities left in them. The fifth bowl is poured out on the throne of the beast itself, that is Babylon, what is called the kingdom of Babylon. And his kingdom became full of darkness. They gnawed their tongues because of the pain and their sores, but continue unrepentant. They say this darkness, it's inexplicable. So you can't see out, and all I can think of is one of the plagues that it was imposed on the Pharaoh of Egypt by Moses, where they couldn't even see their hands. So it's pretty scary. The darkness is a preview of hell itself. Jesus states in Matthew 25:30, the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So they think there's going to be like the light of the flames. No, it's total darkness. Those who go to hell believe that they are going to have a party with the rest of them that are like him. You are in total isolation, in total darkness with the weight of your sins all over you. Then on the sixth bowl, the river Euphrates dries up so that the kings of the east prepare to cross for attacking Israel. Three unclean spirits, like frogs, it says, came out of the mouth of the dragon, which is the devil, out of the mouth of the beast, which is the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. These are spirits of demons performing the signs that they were doing all the time, and they use those tools for deception, which go out now to the kings of the earth, the ones that were left out, and the whole world that it's unrepentant. And my goodness, even not going through it right now at this level that we're living in, it scares me to death just to think that this is probably 100 times worse. So they gather everybody for the battle in Jerusalem, which it's called the Great City. The Great City can be referring to, according to the context, to Jerusalem, or it can refer to Babylon, where the government of the beast seats. But this the great city is for the Battle of Jerusalem, and they gather together at Armageddon on the Valley of Jehoshaphat. this is the final battle. There have been battles throughout all of this because the Antichrist, all they want to do is crush Israel. They do not want Christ to return. He must try to crush them before they call out to God and accept Jesus as their Messiah. So this battle of Armageddon, it's a pretty large battle. I don't discuss it here. I just mention it. You can read about it in Joel 3:11 through 13, Zechariah 12:2-5, and 13:7-9, and Micah 4:9-13. One of the things that it says in I think it's Zechariah 9, that the leaders of Israel are the ones that are going to have to call out to the Lord before Christ comes down to earth and before they're forgiven and come out to earth. And it mentions them as the house of Daniel, which represents kings and nobles, and the house of Nathan, representing the prophets, all the prophets, and the house of Levi, representing all the priests. So this is the higher up that has been left in Jerusalem. These are the ones that were not rescued out and sent to the area of Petra, because those are the ones that left everything behind and ran once they signed the treaty with the Antichrist. They realized that this man is not their Messiah, so they're lifted up and taken. God takes care of them and sends them over to the valley of, this place that's Petra, and this is in Jordan. The final judgment is poured out into the air. It's followed by words coming out of heaven saying, "It is done." This is reminiscent of Christ's last words on the cross. And a great earthquake, the biggest to be experienced on earth, is going to happen. The great city, which is Jerusalem too, is divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fall. That's how strong this shaking is. Babylon received the fierceness of the wrath of God. So it's the epicenter is probably in Babylon itself, which is in it's going to be in Iraq. And hail will fall upon man, and it weighs about 100 pounds or 45 kilograms each. So you can imagine the weight of all that. We have never gone through anything like this. It says that the earth itself is going to rock. And even though we have gone through major earthquakes, and some of us have experienced actual earthquakes, and you can even set your foot on the ground because of the shaking, imagine something that shakes the entire planet Earth. But people blaspheme God. They blame God for all that's happening to them. And Revelation 17 and 18 detail the fall of Babylon, the great harlot is what it's called, and the mother of the abominations of the earth. Read about the world kingdom, its kings, the beasts, which are people or kings, the world religion. Babylon is going to be burnt with fire. It's probable that they're sitting somewhere, but that's just speculation. They're sitting on something. We know that Iraq is very rich in oil, so it's probably something like that, that it burns from inside. An angel that has great authority comes down from heaven. He illuminates the earth with his glory. I cannot imagine how beautiful a vision that is. This angel announces the fall of Babylon. That's where you hear the Babylon is dead. Babylon is dead. A last call is made to God's people to come out. Still, this is the end, and they're still calling these people to repent. This situation with Babylon reminds me a lot of Sodom and Gomorrah, where fire came from heaven to eliminate them, and they, to this day, we cannot find these places. The plagues over Babylon will all come in one single day until completely burnt with fire. The kings of the earth and the merchants cry out their losses. They became rich and just flowed with money that came out of there. The mighty angel took up a stone and threw it into the sea. Remember Daniel's dream that where the feet of the statue of stone that had, no man had touched before, falls on their feet and crushes them. Says the man, he threw up into the sea, stating, "Thus, with violence, the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore." Read about the dream interpreted by Daniel in Daniel 2:35 and 45. Jesus returns at the end of the millennium for the preparations of the setup of his kingdom. This is after the Battle of Armageddon. I do not cover the kingdom itself. You can read about it in Revelation 19, verses 10 to the end, I believe, of that chapter, and also Zechariah 14. As you can see, the end of righteousness wins, and the kingdom of God is stored on earth. We are going to go, and that's a big amen, we're going to go through a period of quickly 1,000 years of peace, living under the law, where God himself gives us the law so that we can rule and reign with him. And that period also, right now, I didn't talk about it, but Satan is bound, and bound for that 1,000 years, so that the people who are on earth can live in peace and quiet until the end of the millennium, in which he's going to be loosened up, and there's going to be another battle. And as you heard from Pastor Carlos, there is going to be a new earth. Everything is going to have to be from the beginning, because there's people still that are going to be born during that millennium that with years and years and years, we're talking 1,000 years, people forget. And once they loosened Satan, all that festering is going to come back out, because the world has been under the curse of sin since the beginning. And God prepared this plan to save us from the beginning. Everything he has done, he knew what was going to happen here. And he made way for us to be redeemed, to be saved. And he gave us all of the opportunities for us to repent and come to him. If you haven't come to him, please do. He is waiting for you. It is like he's waiting on the other side of the door, waiting for you to open. He has knocked on that door many times. Please open that door and let him in. Let him cover you with the blessings and the love that he has for us, and so that you can start experiencing the true peace of God. There's nothing that I can describe to you that is best than feeling that peace of God. And I send a blessing to all of you. And if you have any questions, please forward them to Pastor Carlos. He's going to be addressing everything. And that's all I have for you today. I didn't think I could cover all of it, but obviously I probably was going 100 miles an hour. But I wanted just to give a preview, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Sister, I have a question.
Yes.
Maybe somebody has it. I want to share it. During the time just prior to us being raptured up, will people have the opportunity to be part of it, or do they have to go to the tribulation?
No. What's the people that what's going to happen is those who are raptured, we're not going to be here. But that doesn't mean the work of the Lord is going to continue being here. What's going to happen, a lot of people are going to realize a mistake they made by not really taking seriously that he was coming. So they will continue to proclaim the kingdom, the 144,000, we're going to have them proclaiming the kingdom. And people are going to be saved all throughout this period. Right at the time where we see a description of the 144,000 coming down with Christ, we are also there with him. During the period of the millennium, there is not going to be, quote-unquote, the need to be saved because you are under the rule of God. He himself, his spirit is leading us all the time. And it is like a brand new earth, but like everything else, earth is damaged. It's already damaged. There's always going to be a chance to save. Even at the last minute, we can see this powerful angel proclaiming, come to us, you know? And to me, I see I cannot have greater joy than the joy of knowing that he loves me so much that he sacrificed, even during the most painful situations, he still extends a hand to us. Does that address your question?
Yes, yes. Invitation, and you close it out with prayer, okay?
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, you've heard the gospel. It has been proclaimed to you, and it has gone worldwide because this is an internet radio. It goes worldwide. You have the opportunity to call us now if you want to speak to Sister Ortiz or myself. But what I want you to think about it for 1 second, think about tonight. When you know, the Bible says tomorrow is not promised to no one. Where open up your eyes? Three places. Open up your eyes in the bed as you wake up. You go open up your eyes in heaven if you accept the Christ as your Lord and Savior. But most people, because the Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels, but because the heart is a man's heart, our mouth. So most people will open up their eyes and they'll find themselves in hell. But you have an opportunity right now. The gospel has been proclaimed to you. And basically all you need to do, it has repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. The gospel is very easy. He paid a price. He did it all for us. He shed his precious blood. And basically, you just got to repent of your sins, turn from them, Lord and Savior, and your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when that day comes, you'll be found worthy to escape the wrath to come. So think about it. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
So at this time, we're going to have a closing prayer by Sister Ortiz. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your presence in our midst. We are blessed every single day, Father, that you just wrap us around your loving arms and show us that love. It flows like a river into our hearts, into our deepest parts, Father. We worship you. We adore you. We will get on our knees. We will cry songs of praise to you. Father, I love you. don't know if I can love you as much as I know that you love me, but I am doing my best every single day to praise you and to love you even more, Father. I also beg for your people who are suffering right now, Father. Give them some rest, Father. Just see to it. I know that you have a plan and a purpose, and I never would want to go against it, Father. But if there is some relief for them, I know they will be grateful to you eventually. I hear they're trying to reach out to you. Some of them are starting to question Christians about our faith in you, Father. So please, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, please hear our cry and dry our tears, Father, because we suffer for them too. Father, I cannot thank you enough for all the daily blessings, for all your love and all your caring, for all the miracles that you make every single day of our lives. People don't see you, but I know you're there. We all know, those of us who believe know, that you are behind everything. And we thank you for all that you are. And the glory and the kingdom and the power belong all to you. And we belong to you, Father. I beg you in the name of the Jesus Christ, please. Amen.
God says, in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the days of provocation when your forefathers tempted me in the wilderness. You've heard the gospel. And not only there have you heard the gospel of Sister Ortiz, very truthful, passionate, presenting the gospel because she knows that God loves you very much. And it's not a chance. It's a purpose why God allow you to be here in the radio station at this time, and why Sister Alicia brought us revelation. And we want to thank God for to continue to give her wisdom and knowledge and understanding of his scriptures as she continues to teach his children. So we want to thank God so that you have an opportunity to reach out. God loves you. Us. 10-hour church, what we would recommend is that you ask the Holy Spirit to direct you to a church where you're going to grow spiritually in the precious name of Jesus. Sister Ortiz, thank you very much. We'll be back next
thank
week.
You,
we'll be back on for Bible Mystery at 6, 7 o'clock on Tuesday at 3 a.m. We're here for the next Thursday. We'll be here with another Bible teaching. It could be Sister Linda Lowe, or it could be Brother Michael Cobb. One of the two will be with us next Thursday. So until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.